Hey, what's up, everybody? Today, right now, you can check out the new season of Bambi Bakes on YouTube. Hosted by daughter of the current reigning champion of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars, Shea Coulee, and fellow Houston baddie, Bambi Banks Coulee. Get baked and learned with Bambi this season. She'll be serving 70s-inspired looks and educating the dolls about the war on drugs with guest chefs in the kitchen and some of her best Judies on the couch. On this season's premiere, Bambi has chef and activist Lorraine Nguyen, who is one of the runners of Snack It Bodega and owner of Chicago-based microbakery Canzaberry. God, I hope I'm saying that right. Canzaberry. Anyway, the first season of this show was amazing, and I expect nothing less for this new season. Bambi Bakes just looks like so much fun. And if you like baking, especially baking with weed, you will love this show. And you can check it out on Moving Standard's YouTube channel. Just search Moving Standard and or Bambi Bakes, and you'll find it. I love alliteration. And if you don't want to miss a single episode, subscribe and hit the little bell notification so you catch every episode. I'll be watching because I suck at baking, although I did make some weed brownies one time in college, and they were definitely a party favorite, I might add. Anyway, Bambi is just so freaking stunning, and her promo look is straight out of the 70s. I love it. And for more info on the show and the guest chefs, you can check out Moving Standard on Instagram at Moving Standard, or check out Bambi Banks Instagram page at Bambi Banks. And the show is called Bambi Bakes, B-A-K-E-S. Bambi Banks, Bambi Bakes. You know what I'm saying? All right, now here's Too Soon.
You're listening to Too Soon Podcast.
What's up, everyone? My name is Linda Jo. I am loud, sometimes aggressive, and I do live for the drama. You can call me Linda Sojourner Truth or Linda Controversy Ho if you're nasty. And that's on Mary Had a Little Lamb.
Hey, Too Soon, how you doing? It's your favorite drag superhero, Malia Marvel, here this week to give you all the tea on everything that's happening in pop culture. We're going to get nerdy and dirty.
What's up, everybody? It's your girl, Linda Jo. And this week, Malia girl, what are we talking about this week?
Girl, it's time to hide your kids, hide your wives. This week, we're talking about Matt Gaetz. We're also talking about James Charles, and they've been getting into some seedy activity. But, you know, we're going to give you all the down low on it.
For sure. We're also going to talk about why they're calling the Vice President Kamala Harris bothered and frustrated. And I don't know. It kind of seems a little coded to me, but I'll get your take on it.
Oh, girl, I agree. It's a little coded. It's more than coded. We know. We will also be talking about what's going down in Salt Lake City with Jen the Scammer Shaw. You know, she was blackfishing last week, and this week she's scamming. So let's see what happens.
Okay. And then we'll find out about this Quavo and Saweetie drama, because, you know, it's always something happening in the elevator.
I was going to say, we just need to keep black celebrities out of elevators.
Truly.
And we're going to follow all that up with a lovely interview with This Is It's own Anya and Rachel, the hostesses of Ungodly Gossip.
Yes.
Yes. I'm so excited for them. They're amazing.
All right. Let's get into it.
You're listening to Too Soon Podcast.
If you like this podcast and you want to help us get better sound equipment, you can donate to the pod. Just send it to me at LENDAJO on Venmo and put the mic emoji in the little notes or whatever, so I know that it's for the pod. And make sure you follow the pod Too Soon on Twitter, Too Soon Pod on Instagram, and like this. I don't know if you can like podcasts, but definitely rate and review us and tell your friends about us so that we can have a big, growing, beautiful audience of people who like to listen to two drag queens talk about stupid shit.
We're talking about smart stuff. I think we balance the stupid and the, you know, smart. All right, jumping back in with our too soon topic. So we're going to discuss, is it too soon to say that we need even more Black gay representation in mainstream media? I mean, y'all should know what my answer is, knowing who I am. But Linda, what do you think?
You know, I think we do. I think we're finally starting to get some more Black gay representation, but it still pales in comparison to all of the other cis white content that we have. You know what I'm saying? So I'm okay with us seeing more and more. So I like this question because it kind of makes me think about the fact that, you know, everybody's been talking about Lil Nas X and his video and, you know, his portrayal of sliding down the stripper pole to hell and stuff. And so, like, honestly, him doing that and it being a big deal with conservatives and people calling him Satan and all this other kind of shit. I mean, it was a stunt. It was a gag. And I'm glad that he did it because for me, it brought a lot of attention to the fact that Black people have not turned the corner when it comes to accepting Black gay people and their families and their and our culture. We're still very, as a culture, homophobic, transphobic. And I think having more images of Black queer people in media will hopefully help combat that.
I agree with you 95%. I understand that we need like more gay queer representation, and I 100% agree with that. I think one of the issues that's a disconnect when it comes to the Black community and our relationship with the LGBT community is that we've been indoctrinated into this really heavy level of Christianity since we've come to, you know, this country. And I think a lot of times, because we are so heavily associated with the church, and that has been like our pillar in the Black community, that we take a lot of those doctrines and we apply them to every aspect of Black culture. And I think more so it's less that Black people don't understand homosexuality or, you know, they're against homosexuality. I think it's that we have such this huge connection to our religion and we cling to it that that causes us to, you know, sometimes not be on the right side of history. And I think the more that we start to reclaim our power and develop the Black culture further outside of what we've been taught, then we'll see people starting to move towards being more progressive.
Yeah, I mean, well, I guess what I see is that when it comes to Black people and Christianity, we've took on a lot of these beliefs and ideology from our oppressor. You know, they handed us Christianity. The colonists put Christianity on us and used it as a tool to convince themselves that slavery was okay, and then to convince us that that was our place. And I don't know why we clung so hard to Christianity, maybe because we felt like it helped us overcome slavery, but the religion is not, it's not for us, and we shouldn't be holding on to these false beliefs that were given to us by these white people.
I think it has a lot to do with, like, you know, I've never gone through what our ancestors have gone through. I can only, you know, speak from what makes sense to me. Just being completely beaten down and stripped of your culture and then being told this is the one thing that can save you. Or when anything bad happens, being like, you need to go repent. And, you know, forcing that on us to not be like, oh, this isn't the white man's will or whatever the case may be. This is God's will. This is like, you know, holy doctrine. Like, this is divine from the heavens saying that you're supposed to be here.
And it's like we were brainwashed.
Yeah, it was fear that was put into the Black community. And I think we're still seeing the effects of that now because, you know, we'd rather pray then, you know, go to the hospital. And I'm not trying to be judgmental, but I think there are a lot of things that we do that don't make sense because of this level of Christian indoctrination that we've been brought to.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, it's so deeply ingrained in our culture and so deeply ingrained in, I don't know what I'm trying to say.
It's like mindset. No, I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
It's been given to us for so long that we don't know how to, I guess the analogy I would use is like see the light at the end of the tunnel. Like we've been put into it, we've been forced into it, and we just keep going and we keep going. And we have to realize, you know, once we get on the right path and start moving towards going backwards, regressing to where we were before we had all of these influences on us, we're going to get back to that light. And it's hard. It's very hard to, you know, unlearn a lot of the things that we've been taught, because this isn't just our generation. This isn't just our parents' generation. This isn't just our grandparents' generation. This is literally, you know, the generation of people who were brought here, forcibly brought here, and then stripped of everything and then forced to believe something. And if they didn't believe it, you could die. You could have your family killed. You could have all, you know, levels of horror happen to you because you don't cling to these beliefs. And now we're seeing the effects of that today.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I just think, especially with Lil Nas X's video, the fact that people, you know, try to make it seem like, oh, he's trying to make our kids gay and all this other kind of stuff. I just, I hate that narrative, first of all, because a video can't make your child gay. It's not demonic because other people, I mean, we have 3 6 Mafia. There's a lot of other Black artists who have made reference or used demonic themes in their music. So I don't.
I mean, I could think of like 4 or 5 off the top of my head. Okay, let's go. Like Biggie.
Okay.
Come on now, DMX.
Mm-hmm.
SZA's used some imagery in her past. Who else was I thinking of? Who did? Oh, girl, that they're saying that the video was inspired by FKA Twigs.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's okay to do that when you're not a Black gay person. You can do these things as long as you're not Black and gay.
Well, I think they're conflating issues and they're trying to hide behind, you know, what did they say? They're throwing whatever and then they're hiding behind. I don't remember what the saying is, but I think people are just using it as a defense mechanism to try and attack the things that they don't like, which is what they're so used to being able to do. But the fact that he's satirizing what they use as their defense mechanism to say, oh, you're evil, you're this, that, and the other. And he's saying, I don't give a whatever. Yeah. And I'm laughing at it. It's triggering a lot of people. They don't know what to say now. They're like, well, you're still gay and you're still Black. And I don't know what to do about it. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Well, sit over there and just be mad.
Yeah, it's very weird because it's like that's, you know, we were taught that, we were instilled as children, like if you gay, you going to hell. You can't be a sissy. You can't be sweet. You can't be feminine. You can't be any of those things. And like, I don't think that there is any Black, gay or queer person who grew up in a religious family that hasn't experienced trauma at the hands of, you know, like well-intentioned saints.
I agree.
You know,
I mean, I had my grandparents. I woke up after I told my grandparents that I was queer. I woke up one morning at like 5:30 in the morning. My grandmother was rubbing holy oil on my forehead. She said, baby, just go back to sleep. I was just like, this is some real stuff. It's scary sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I got sent to church camps. I didn't go to a conversion camp, but I did go to a bunch of youth revivals and my grandmother suggested that I become a eunuch. So it was rough, but
on to happier things.
Yeah, it's too soon. It's not too soon to say we need even more Black gay representation in mainstream media. We need all of it so that, you know, I think
the next media generation doesn't have to deal with this bullshit.
Right. You know, it shouldn't have taken this long for us to get a Black gay icon to truly be themselves and express themselves in music. And the more exposure to it, the more we can hopefully normalize it, even though that's what they think the gay agenda is.
Keep on little Nas and little Nas.
All right. That was too soon. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back with late news.
You're listening to Too Soon Podcast.
What's up, everybody? We are back again with late news. Up first, I wanted to talk about Dirty Matt Gaetz. So Matt Gaetz, he was Trump's like super supporter in Congress. He was all up his ass. He's been very outspoken and vocal about Donald Trump when he was in office. He was a big defender of Donald. There's a lot of I don't even know. There's just a lot of shit with Matt Gaetz. Like, he's a terrible person. He's obviously, he's from Florida because, you know, that's where all of the worst people are.
Oh, you know, Florida is crazy.
Okay. He is definitely a Florida man. And he has been accused of sleeping with underage girls, sex trafficking, you know, paying minors for sex. And first of all, I don't think anybody here is shocked. I don't think anybody's shocked because the even his own Republican Party congressional like caucus didn't fuck with him like that. I mean, he has this reputation of not being liked by other Republicans, and nobody's really stepping up to defend him because they all kind of knew this shit was bound to happen. A scandal around him was for sure going to happen at some point. He is just a sleazy sleazeball. And it's really funny because, like, you know, the QAnon, like conspiracy theory, crazy conservatives have been saying for the last few years, like, oh, there's a cabal and they're sex trafficking and stealing kids and raping kids. And they were trying to say it was Democrats and turns
Pizzagate.
Yes, like all of that is just these crazy ideas that they were trying to put on Democrats. And lo and behold, the child trafficking, sex trafficking motherfucker was Rep. Matt Gaetz.
That's crazy to me. I was looking into it and it's just like, what really disturbs me about it is that they're trying to still figure out, I guess, what exactly they can make stick against him. So he's getting in trouble because he was having a sexual relationship with an unnamed 17-year-old girl. And it's apparently been confirmed that, you know, he paid for sex through gifts and supposedly traveling. So I guess they're trying to determine if they're going to be able to make anything stick when it comes to sex trafficking, because even if the girl went with him willingly, or if, you know, even if she gave consent, or, you know, you can't really give consent as a minor, so that's not even really a factor, you know, they're still trying to determine what they can make stick against him when it comes to sex trafficking, because I guess there's some kind of legality that can be questioned when it comes to taking a minor over state lines. And they're trying to determine if him taking a minor over state lines for sexual purposes can be linked to sex trafficking. And that, to me, just, it makes no sense.
Truly. All right. So up next, we got VP Harris. She is alleged. She was a, now this story is old. This is old news. This is like, well, obviously, you know the title of this fucking thing. It's late news. So VP Harris was reportedly bothered and frustrated and irritated because the house that the vice president is supposed to live in wasn't finished yet. And she had to stay in a separate house, like a guest house for presidential or, you know, like White House guests. But her house was apparently under renovations, and it took them, I think
it was almost a month, right?
Yeah, no, two months.
Oh, wow.
Apparently, they just finished renovations, I think, but still, she was out of her place for like 2 months. And then, but my problem with this whole thing is that they use these words, and the articles that were coming out about it just seemed kind of like,
she was getting the Michelle Obama treatment.
Yeah, it's like they just describing a Black woman as irritated, frustrated, or bothered just kind of like gives you almost like a diva portrayal. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, would this be a story if it were a white man, the vice president?
My issue, I 100% agree with what you're saying. And the language that they use is messed up, because they could have easily spun this in a way that portrayed Kamala as being someone who's been wronged, which she is, because I just think it's highly disrespectful of them to not be able to get the vice president's living situation together. So she has every right to be frustrated, but they could have been talking about it from a sympathetic point where it was, you know, how do we make things better for the vice president? You know, this is not okay, the way the vice president is being treated, this, that, and the other, but they're framing it in a way to make it seem like someone has to incur her wrath because she's the angry Black vice president woman who's mad because they didn't get her house ready on time. Like, it's, It's coded and it's stupid, and I can already see what they're going to be doing with her. And, you know, we're going to be right there on Black Twitter getting them right together.
Truly. All right. Last but not least, we only got a minute left, but I really want to talk about the Derek Chauvin trial. Derek, this white man who put his knee on George Floyd's neck for 9 minutes and 29 seconds. Mm-hmm. They just finished up week one of the trial. And honestly, the defense is doing a terrible job, which is, it's so good to see, because it's like they really don't have a leg to stand on. And it's just like every witness just makes it look worse and worse for Derek. And
I was listening to some of the like witness testimonies and everything that they were talking about. Well, I didn't listen to them, but I was looking into them, and there was
10 seconds.
A dispatcher who was saying that she actually thought that while watching the footage, she thought that he died, or and that the footage froze. She thought it was frozen because he was on him for so long. And then there was another observer who was actually there watching it, and he said that he spoke to Derek and told him that the hold that he was using was a blood hold. And I guess this man was a trained MMA fighter. And and I guess Derek just basically acknowledged that he knew what it was. And just like thinking about how sickening that is, that you know you're intentionally causing harm to someone, and just because you think you can get away with it, you don't do the right thing. Like he needs to be not under the jail. He just needs to be gone.
Truly. That was late news. We'll have to talk more about the Derek Chauvin trial as it progresses, and fingers crossed for a conviction, and a heavy one at that. They better throw the whole book at him.
You're listening to Too Soon Podcast.
Okay, Malaya, so I just started watching this show on Amazon Prime. It's a cartoon. It is so good. It's called Invincible. And like,
I think I remember you mentioning it. I really need to go check it out.
Yeah. So I don't even know. I just saw the preview, and I saw it was like this cartoon, and it was like Invincible, and it was like superheroes, and it was on Amazon. And I didn't think, I was like, okay, well, let me just go and look and see. And I went and I watched it, and it was so effing good, because it's like got all of these bright colors and like these like fun like imagery, but it is definitely not for kids. It's like a really dark story, but you don't see it coming at all. And like, I don't even want to spoil it, but it is so good. So if you get a moment, please watch the show. And this is, I just want to say, this is unsponsored. This is an unsponsored recommendation. The guy who created it is the same guy who created The Walking Dead. I think his name is Rob Kirkman or something like that. I love this show. I'm like,
I'm gonna check it out.
I'm ready to watch. Like, I wanted to binge the whole season, but they only dropped the first 3 episodes. So like, child, I'm gonna be patiently waiting for the next one to come out. So I want to talk about it again. So you need to watch it. You need to get caught up. And Amazon, if you can hear this, throw some sponsorship money at us, because I just gave you a glowing review. Okay, bitch.
Amazon is in the comments right now.
Okay, somebody tag Amazon.
All right, and welcome back to Too Soon. It's your girl Malaya Marvel, and we're getting ready to jump into some juicy pop culture, starting with Quavo and Saweetie and elevator drama. So I don't know what it is with black celebrities and elevators, but recently there was some footage leaked from Quavo and Saweetie, and it appeared that the two were having a spat, and there was a little bit of tussling, and it just doesn't look good on either one of their parts. They both look to be at fault for putting their hands on each other, but it just doesn't sit well with me how the events are taking place, and we don't know the full story. And you know, they did announce that they broke up a while ago, and this shows us why they broke up. So, Linda, I don't know if you saw the video or what your thoughts on it are.
Yeah, I definitely watched the video, and I had to watch like the full video from TMZ, but it still didn't give me like enough information. Like, obviously, it was something like there was something happening to the fact where I took it from the very first frame that TMZ has, and it looked like Quavo was trying to kick his little box. And you said it was the Call of Duty Xbox or something?
Yeah, I think the girls were trying to say that it was like Saweetie's luggage, or she had bought some luxury items. But people, you know, the Nancy Drews, they looked into it and they determined that it was a Call of Duty like special edition box or something.
Okay. So you could see him like trying to kick it onto the elevator, and she is like at the same time trying to like push him out of the elevator. So I think that she was trying to get him off the elevator or trying to get in the elevator and close it and leave him. And he was trying to get in. And so like the little tussle happened, but we don't really understand what happened before that. We did see her swing on him, and we did see him grab her and push her into the elevator. And by the looks of it, like you said, they both played a part in it. But I mean, if we want to do this, like, I don't know what the right thing is. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I want to say a man should never put his hands on a woman. But then people be like, well, if she swung on him, then he could be able to do, you know, like, and it's like, well, that's not how, I don't know.
I need more information, because to be honest, to me, it looked like she was just defending herself.
Yeah.
And she was frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I also think that they might have been a little tipsy. I don't know what they was on, but they both look like they could have been, you know, partaking. So I need more information on it. I don't think a man should ever put their hands on a woman. I don't think anyone in general should be putting their hands on anyone, but just knowing how much force he has in comparison to her, he doesn't need to be swinging her around an elevator like that. And that just didn't sit right with me.
Yeah, I think there's definitely more to the story, but we won't know until more details come out. They both put out a statement and said it was a year ago, and they've grown and moved on. So maybe we'll never know what really happened.
But you know what I am here for with their breakup? I want to see more of the family going back and forth. when the aunties and the sisters are fighting, that was hilarious.
Okay.
Don't hit each other. Just make your family yell at each other on Twitter.
Okay. I have to check that out. Up next is the NAACP Awards. I know you wanted to talk about this, Malaya.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a little bit of the highlights of the NAACP Awards, because I feel like we put so much emphasis on, you know, like the Grammys and the Billboard Awards and the Oscars and all of this stuff. And then you'll hear like people saying that we should just go make our own awards, or, you know, y'all can go have your own Black Awards or something like that. And I just don't think we put enough respect on the NAACP Awards and the BET Awards. But, you know, just wanted to give a little bit of a rundown. So Anthony Anderson was the host this year, and, you know, Anthony Anderson has hosted it many times in the past, and they did the right thing. They gave a lot of their their big awards for acting to Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
Okay.
And I was really happy about that. But they did also give Chadwick Boseman an award as well. I just think if we invest more into these accolades within our own community, we're going to get it right. And we're going to have the rest of the world put more respect on us, because we respect ourselves.
For sure. I definitely do think that we don't give enough value to the NAACP Awards. They don't get a lot of attention, especially not like in the mainstream media. You know, when people are talking about what awards an actor has won, they're not going to be like, oh, and this NAACP award is always, you know, Oscar, Grammy, you know, Emmy, you know, but it is what it is. Hopefully it'll get better over time.
So y'all go see the NAACP Awards if you get a chance, you know?
Yeah, go check it out. Go give them some, I'm sure it's probably somewhere you can stream.
It's on YouTube somewhere, probably.
All right. The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, Jen Shaw, now referred to as Jen the Scammer.
Ma'am.
I am only calling her Jen the Scammer from this point on. So I didn't even really watch this season of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. Did you watch it, Malaya?
I was going to say, I didn't even really pay attention to Salt Lake City. I haven't watched it because I wasn't sure if it was going to be my cup of tea. I'm more, you know, into like Potomac and Real Housewives of Atlanta. If you know, you know what I mean. But it sounds like they've been cutting up, and Jen the Scammer fits right in. And, you know, she's gotten into this whole persona of being larger than life. She runs around with the Shaw Squad, and she has her glam with her all the time. And she talks down to people, and she makes it known that she's wealthy.
Yeah.
And the whole time, she got her money from laundering and telemarketing scam, and apparently it had to do with a lot of elderly people just scamming them. So it's interesting.
I thought this was insane. And no, so I didn't really watch the season, but my best friend, he is a Real Housewives junkie. And he was saying, I told you it didn't make sense for her to be making all that money and her husband was an assistant basketball coach with all of these assistants and everything. So yeah, apparently she was selling lists to people for telemarketing. I don't even know. I don't even know the whole thing, but it's like money laundering. I forgot what all they wire fraud. So yeah,
the big one was like the telemarketing scam with the wire fraud. And I guess it kind of worked like they were contacting people and they were getting amounts of money for them for things that they weren't necessarily going to actually be doing. But, you know, all of this is information is coming out slowly. They're still getting their investigation and everything together. So it's yet to be determined exactly what she was doing. But telemarketing fraud was definitely in there.
Yeah, that's crazy.
She had her plea hearing she was supposed to have her plea hearing last Thursday. And because, you know, we can't do anything in person because of COVID and, you know, all of those issues, they had to do it over Zoom. And these Zoom hearings are public. So the judge shows up to, you know, to start quieting everyone down and get people, you know, together so that they can start this hearing. And there's over 150 people in the Zoom meeting who are there that aren't even related to the trial. And they don't know how to mute their mics. So they're in the background saying, for the Housewives trial. Girl, do you watch Bravo?
Oh, my God.
So Jen apparently was there initially, but her lawyer wasn't there because they couldn't figure out what was going on with him. And then they couldn't get the attorneys on. Nothing was working. And when they got Jen back on, the lawyer couldn't be contacted. So they called him and then she fell off the call. So the judge had to reschedule it for the following day. I hope it went better, but you know, stay out of court trials.
Did you see her when she got out on bail, honey, with her looking like a whole black woman with braids and a fur coat?
Yep, girl, I saw that.
She stayed blackfishing, honey.
She really do.
You can't tell her she's not a black woman.
All right. So I know you're on the up and up when it comes to Miss Knowles. So Linda, let the people know what happened to our Lord and Savior, Beezus.
Yes. So Beezus had her storage unit raided. And I cannot believe this. The girls, apparently multiple celebrities have been hit in with their storage units. But Beyonce had, I think, somewhere over $1 million worth of property stolen. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it's jewelry, one of a kind, unique costumes. And like, I just felt bad for B because, first of all, nobody likes to have their things stolen, especially like irreplaceable things. Don't you ever for a second get to thinking.
I hope they didn't get none of the iconic costumes. I can't with you. I just hope they didn't get none of her iconic costumes. So I'm hoping she keeps those in like, you know, that vault or whatever, her museum.
Yeah. She needs a Walt Disney vault. Oh, shit.
Well, yeah, I thought she had like a, what do you call it? She has like a museum or something that's like attached to like one of her house. I don't know. It's all rumors.
You know what she needs? She needs a, excuse me. Excuse me. You know what she needs? She needs a like Walt Disney vault, honey. She needs like, it needs to be under like lock and key and surveillance and motherfucking security guards and shit. Cause can't nobody be coming for Beyonce.
I mean, she can afford it. And I was going to say, I know the $1 million ain't hurting her because that's Blue's lunch money, but I'm sure it was some stuff that was just like unique. So I feel bad that she lost like personal possessions that probably had sentimental value.
Yeah. And if somebody on the street, whoever on the street got them, they better, if they ever even try to sell that shit on the black market, you know.
Girl, why like, a drag queen? She come out in one of Beyonce costumes.
Child, the Beehive is going to annihilate them. Malaya, are you clocking or checking for any of the movies being nominated for the Oscars?
Oh, I haven't really been interested in the Oscars for years, but I will be online trolling to see if Judas and the Black Messiah won everything that they're nominated for. And that's pretty much it. I'll see. Are you guys going to do right this year, Oscars? That's all I want to know.
We will definitely see. They are nominated for Best Picture. So fingers crossed. I'm looking across the list. And honestly, a lot of the movies this year I haven't seen. I've seen most of the Black ones, though. Like Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Chadwick Boseman is nominated. And I think he will win.
Oh, for Best Actor?
Yeah, for Best Actor in a Leading Role. For sure, he's going to win. Oh, and then... Viola Davis is also nominated for Best Actress in a Leading Role for Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
I'm not going to lie. I was kind of surprised that Andra Day won over her at the last ceremony. Because I personally liked Viola Davis's performance more.
Yeah, the Golden Globes, yeah. So, I mean, I don't expect Andra Day to win for... I don't expect her to win the Oscar. But I don't know if Viola is going to take home the win, but I haven't seen any of these other movies.
I'm not hearing the kind of buzz I think I would normally hear if I thought a Black woman was going to win.
Yeah. Honestly, yeah, a lot of the movies being nominated and have a lot of nominations, like Minari, I didn't see, even though it has, I can't think of his name. What is his name? He's from that one show, The Walking Dead. And then when he died, everybody was sad.
Steven Yeun?
Yes, Steven Yeun. Yeah, so he's nominated for Minari. I haven't seen Minari. I haven't seen Sound of Metal, which I think has a couple of good nods. And I didn't see Mank or Nomadland. I heard Nomadland was good, but I haven't seen that. I didn't see Promising Young Woman either, even though I heard that was a good movie.
Did you ever see that? I'm looking now. Did you ever see that that Soul movie that Disney did?
I did see Soul, and
they're nominated for Best Original Score.
Okay, are they nominated for Best Animated Film though?
I don't think so. I was looking to see if they were, and I don't think so. Nope.
Oh wow.
We'll take your music.
That is trash. Okay, well, anyway, that movie made the Black character a ghost for 90% of the movie anyway, so...
We need to do a whole episode on why Disney does us wrong in their movies.
Ciao. Every time. Every time.
Too soon.
What's up, everybody? We are back. We are here with the beautiful, the lovely, the wonderful, the godly gossip duo. We have Rachel Slurs and Anya Knees in the motherfucking building. What's up, y'all?
Hey, Talovius. I missed you.
Not Talovius.
Hey, Andre, my favorite cousin that I don't fuck with no more. Child, you know, sometimes you got to get the girls in check, you know, because... Andre is my cousin, like the Junebug cousin that still owe you money from like 6 years ago.
The Junebug cousin. Lovius is that Uncle Peaches that everybody talk about that don't like.
First of all, it's Auntie Peaches.
We said this was going to be the comedy episode because these hoes stay making jokes. What have y'all been up to? How was the pandemic for y'all? And like, you know, kind of just walk us through how you guys ended up with Ungodly Gossip.
Ooh, see what had happened was we were honestly we were just sitting down in the dressing room at Tits one day. I forgot whose show it was. I think it was. Oh right. And we were just sitting down there just like shooting the shit. And Zach was like, y'all should really like have a show. Y'all both like really play off each other really well. Y'all have good chemistry. And we were like, then let's make that happen. And then like 2 weeks later, I think it was like 2 weeks later, we filmed our first episode.
Oh, damn. That was a quick turnaround.
It was like, oh, pure talent. We see this. Let's make money off of it.
The gag is basically, in Zach's mind, he's like, oh, two ignorant Black bitches choosing violence on the daily. Let's film this.
He said, just give them a mic. They gonna make the show for us.
Truly.
Okay.
What were you ladies doing over the pandemic? What got you through this crazy year during the ponytail?
Well, while we were in a parallelogram inside of a parentheses, honestly, when the pandemic happened, I was in my feelings. I was one of those girls because, like, everybody knows, especially anybody, like, obviously in here right now, knows that, like, it's already hard enough to be a Black queen and, like, to be in high demand. So when you actually get the gigs and you get the bookings, you're like, okay, I need to commit. I need to work. So, like, right when everything started shutting down, like, I was about to make so much money. I had, like, 6 colleges reach out to me, college shows on college shows. And, like, I was like, okay, I'm finna be set. You know, I got a little bit of debt, but we finna clear right on up. And then, boom, we were inside of a photosynthesis. And in the beginning, I was like, I really was like, okay, like, how long is this gonna be? Maybe it's gonna be a month and maybe we'll get it together. And then a month turned into 3 months that turned into basically 6 months. So for me, I, like, kind of sat for a minute, and it wasn't until maybe about April that I was like, okay, let me start trying to do something with my time, try to, like, practice my makeup. 'Cause honestly, drag is a journey. And everybody should be trying to evolve, because if you're going to be stagnant in your drag, then it's like drag is always changing and ever growing. So it's like, I felt like I was one of the girls, but there were a lot of girls who really low key kind of looked a mess pre-pandemic. But when they got in that pandemic, girls were on live Instagram, Facebook, even Twitter and other stuff, connecting with people and, like, painting and really practicing their craft. So when girls came out of the pandemic in, like, July, they were a whole different people.
Right.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I feel like if you weren't, like, trying to figure out something that you didn't particularly like about what you were doing with your drag during the pandemic, and you didn't come out of it learning something new about that, that was, like, the prime opportune time to, like, focus on yourself. You didn't have to think about anybody else. So I saw the evolution too. There were a lot of girls, I was just like, damn, she's been working hard, and it paid off, and it looks good.
Yeah. What about you, Rachel?
Pretty much the same thing, honestly. I had recently turned 21 prior to the pandemonium happening.
And, oh, bitch, I didn't know you were so young.
Yeah, I turned 23 in July.
Oh, wow.
Both of y'all are so young.
Oh, I know.
Literally, the gag is literally Rachel's birthday is probably like a week or 2 weeks before mine.
Oh, wow. My God.
Well, yeah, I, like, had just turned 21. I was getting my footing in the Chicago scene, like, making my way around, and was being, like, able to be booked, like, consistently. And then pandemic hit, and I was like, well, shit, I'm gonna just take this time to work on my makeup. And honestly, like, you can even see the reel in my, like, the highlight in my Instagram, on my Instagram page. Like, my makeup has changed drastically from March 13th of last year to today. But getting through the pandemic has been okay. Been doing the live shows, and fortunately being one of the, like, the girls that are still, like, booked through the pandemic when, like, stuff in person is happening. So it's been cute. I mean, I have my day job to keep me afloat, but that's not where, like, my happiness is. I mean, like any drag artist, your happiness is in your art. But yeah, that's what I've been doing.
First of all, before I even get to this next question, because we haven't talked a lot to you, Rachel. And, like, so you're actually in Chicago?
Yes. Born and raised in Chicago. I'm a Halloween queen. Started on Halloween. Or Halloween adjacent, I should say. It was like a week or so before Halloween, but.
Okay. A Halloween party?
Yeah.
Okay.
Halloween Express.
That part.
So, what got you into doing gigs up here in Milwaukee?
That's an easy story. I met ass.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. Okay. So that'll also be bleeped.
Oh, Lord. There's going to be more snake rattles now.
Came to Chicago with Amethyst, and she was doing Let's Make a Diva, which is Faye Luke. Well, was Faye Luke's show. And after the show, was like going around kikiing with all the people that Faye like put on the microphone to say, oh, these are queens here in Chicago that are in the audience supporting their sisters or whatever. And came up to me after the show, and it wasn't just to me, she did it to like every queen in the damn room, but she went, I think you're cute as hell, you should follow me on Instagram and we should like go out sometimes. And I'm like, girl, I'm like 4 years older than you. Sure.
Not really though, y'all are like the same.
We're the same age. I'm just exaggerating, but
yeah.
We like kikied. She would come to Chicago when we had those This Free Life events. And then eventually, I don't know how I got connected with Ricky through her. I don't honestly don't remember either. Or I may maybe have reached out to Ricky. It's a long story. But my show there was one of Ricky's shows. And then it just progressed from there. And I started kicking with the girls up there and being like, okay, well, if I come up here and I got a couple of shows, can I just crash on your couch type of moment?
Okay.
And I just build relationships like that.
Oh, nice.
That's what's up, because I heard about you being in Chicago and everything, and the first thing that I ever heard was just like, she is hilarious. And like, I need to get to know this queen. So when you started coming up to Milwaukee, I was like, oh, how did she get up here? Like, who is she talking to? And then y'all started doing Ungodly Gossip, and I was like, okay, everything makes sense now.
Well, I was like, if I'm finna make relationships, I'm finna make this worth it. And if I can get a little coin off of it too, then shit, let's do it.
Yeah. And Anya, you're in Madison. So how did y'all link up and become such good friends? Because it's like, it seems like y'all became like instant friends and have this amazing chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
So you know how, like, if you're a person who like goes through trauma and you meet other people who are traumatized, y'all just become like trauma buddies.
Trauma bonding.
Yes, you know, very trauma bonding. But with Rachel, I think me and Rachel had came across each other on Instagram, because I remember seeing I remember scrolling across and I saw this big burly bitch in this like orange like crunchy wig and with an apron and drag con slides, and I said, "Oh, she look a mess." Then I go with Amethyst, because a mutual friend of Rachel and Amethyst is Lemon LaCroix.
Okay.
And Lemon had a birthday party at the Annoyance Theater. And me and Vanilla tagged along with Amethyst because she had to perform. And Rachel, you performed in that show, right?
No, I didn't. I just went in drag because I was like, why not?
Well, Rachel went in drag. So after the show, we all like mosey our like thick asses over to Taco Bell. But after the function, like Rachel and me kind of like talked to each other a little bit. And she's like, oh, bitch, you're on, you're right. And I was like, yeah. And then we kind of like just like chopped it up then and there. And then we kind of stayed in contact. But like, honestly, don't know. Like, Rachel, I feel like you can say, like, when do we actually like really start talking like more?
I think it was just, oh shit, girl. I think it was just like over lives, to be honest, when like, cause we didn't, I don't think we really like started talking until like quarantine happened.
Fully. Cause I really, cause I'm a social butterfly and I feel like I need to talk to people, and it's not for them. It's really for me. Cause I just feel like I'm an extrovert and I like talking to people. I'm a social butterfly and I like talking. Or
very Leo energy,
or at least people listening to me while I talk. So thank you again for having me on this show. it's doing wonders for endorphins.
There you go. Your dopamine, your serotonin.
Yeah, my serotonin. Yes.
Yep.
My serotonin is through the roof right now. But
yeah.
I feel like one thing, for the most part, we as Black people, we can get together and we could just vibe.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that. We've all had in our life at least one common experience, whether it's being Black or queer. For me and Rachel, it's being like Black and like growing up in the church. For like me and Linda, it's like being Black and like doing cheer. Or like me and Malaya being Black and like loving like comic books and like anime and stuff like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's honestly what it is with me and Rachel. Like, anytime we film an Ungodly Gossip, it's like we have kind of like how y'all have questions planned, but we literally will have one topic and we'll just literally just, you know, talk shit for like 20
We literally go into that with like topics because we're required to, but we just shoot the shit the whole time.
And it looks so effortless, like watching y'all, it does look really effortless. And I'm just like, they just ripping off the top, but it's so good because you both have such good personalities.
Yeah. Y'all play off each other very well.
Yeah. And you know, sometimes you just need a bitch that's bigger than you that'll always keep you on your toes. And that's why I'm thankful for Rachel.
Pull up the footage. I'm pretty much skinnier.
Rachel, how did you get your name?
Oh, it's I watching Tu Wong Fu.
Okay.
And then trying to find a playoff of how RuPaul's character in that show, in the movie, was Rachel Tension.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, let me find a play on this. And I like just took a moment. And I actually took like a couple of days, not a moment. Mm-hmm. But like, what can my name be? And it from somewhere it went from like libido ho and I don't know. It just got to Rachel Slurs. And I was like, this is actually kind of cute. And I just went to my first like going out in drag show, and Lucy was the host that day. Mm-hmm. And she said my name, and I like got up on like the little platform and did my thing. And I was like, Rachel Slurs is the name, and I'm going to keep it.
I ain't mad at it.
Yeah. Yeah. It fits really well. I like it. I was wondering if it was like a Tu Wong Fu reference with Rachel Tension.
Yes, it was. I was like, let me find something, but I can't make it Rachel Tension because then people are going to be like, bitch, you just stole their name from the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I had a question for you, Anya. Like, I know you were mentioning that you kind of went through a phase where you're starting to like build up more more into like the digital realm. Was that around the time that this might be controversial, but like the live that was seen around the world happened where y'all were, you know, I think it was you and Mimi and a couple other girls, and there was like a whole big snafu about that?
Absolutely. I think honestly, that was kind of like the apex of the situation that kind of led to like the increase in, like, I guess I don't even want to say that one led to the increase in lives, like in Madison, because we couldn't do shows at 5. Like, since Dave is a really great guy, he would like promote it on the 5 page that has a lot of followers and traction. So when I did my show, a lot of people tuned in, and I put my Venmo or whatever at the bottom, and people would tip. And I just kind of like did my makeup and just had a conversation with people. But with that one, what a lot of people don't understand is like people in the scene really try to play like racism and microaggressions aren't a thing. And this may be like obviously a very heavy topic to start so early on in the interview, but it was the fact that like Madison shut down March 15, 2020. And I sat in the house for maybe like 60 days. So that's like what? Two months, so March, April, May. So around May is when we did that video. But I had sat in the house. I live by myself. So like there was no reason for me to leave my house. I only left to go get like groceries and supplies. So by the time I really left, I went to my sister Mimi's house. But you know, we had masks and everything, and we did like protocols, but for us to be Black talented and to be able to pull the traction that we did, mm-hmm, with that video, it really upset a lot of white queens in the community. But it was like, when we do something, then we're like witches getting burned at the stake. Mm-hmm. But those were the same girls who were like getting together with people who aren't in their specific houses or friend groups, mm-hmm, or, you know, and what the girls don't know, because y'all know that I'm Nancy Drew.
Right.
These are the same girls complaining about me trying to burn me like a witch at the stake that were like sneak dicking because they never turned off their Snapchat location. And you can see where people are going. Mm. So that was the reason why I like popped off and I had an attitude, because it's like me and these other girls of color got together and did a video that got over 20,000 views, or like had like 2 lives, like 500 to 600 people on the live at a time. Like, that wasn't celebrated.
Right.
What it was is that
they tried to demonize y'all.
Right. I didn't want to put you on the spot, but I just thought it was important to like touch on that, because that really bothered me when I saw that. Because when I saw that, I was thinking, oh, okay, they doing it, like they having a good time, da da da. And then when I saw the negativity, I was like,
were only 3 of y'all there. You know, I think they made it seem like y'all were just breaking so many rules, but mm-hmm, I saw 3 people on the screen. Right, it was you, Mimi, and
Vonnie, but they go by Kiyomi Sanchez.
Yeah, so I was very confused as to why they were so upset when it was such a small group of you. And at the time, we had a rule where, you know, I think it was up to 6 people at a house, or less than 10 people in a gathering.
It was less than 10 at a gathering, which is why we couldn't do shows. And honestly, people will try to say like, oh, there's no racism, and these girls are just trying to play the victim. But like, I got told that I was panhandling. I got told that I wasn't taking care of my bills pre-COVID. So why would people give me anything? When the gag was, we had honestly got over there to cook and try to come up with content, because I was actually booked to be in Danica Bonet's What the Fuck show that they used to have at Scarlet. Mm. And it was like a live thing. So like Mimi had like a better setup. She had a backdrop. hung up and she had a ring light. So I was like, can I come over to your house and utilize that little space and in the side of your like living room so I can like do this show? But if there was a way for me to safely make money, even though I wasn't considered an essential worker, why wouldn't I not take that opportunity?
No, I feel that. I feel that. I just hate the scrutiny that we see, you know, when it comes to like performers of color. I feel like if somebody else had done it and they were maybe more favored or whatever the case may be, it wouldn't have been such a big deal. But because it was you and, you know, other people, it was like, oh, what are they doing? Let's talk about this.
Yeah, I think it was even more than that, too. I think the fact that had that video not gotten any traction, had you guys not really gotten a lot of views, they probably wouldn't have had anything to say. But they saw how much success you had. And that's why they chose to attack you, because they probably felt it was unfair because they probably weren't, you know, getting the same receptions for their lives or their videos or whatever they were doing. And they saw y'all being successful and Black and they didn't like that. I think it's just really a shame to see how they reacted to you guys being successful. But at the end of the day, like, you're still booked. You're still busy. You're still doing the shit that you need to do for you. And they can't deny your talent.
So. You want to move on to something lighter?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's move on to something lighter. So
I was going to say, we got really
heavy. Real quick. It went from 0 to 1,200. It's like, what happened?
Okay, we got Dreamgirls heavy.
I want to take a moment to deny all of Anya's talent.
Wow.
Well, speaking of talent, we've been asking a lot of our guests this, but who would you like to see as new talent on the upcoming season, season 14? You know, local, national, whatever.
Of Drag Race.
I would like to see myself, but the producers ain't even looked at my tape yet. So
I know how that is.
But no, I think I would like to see, I would definitely like to see any of the Kool-Aid daughters, Auntie Chan, because like me, she's a stupid ass clown. Obviously, my mother, Lucy. Mm-hmm.
Yes, we love Lucy.
Who else in our scene? There's a lot of people. There's a lot of people in Chicago that I think would do so well on the race. Also, I just want to say really quick that Denali kind of got a Jan type edit in my eye.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
They're definitely going to bring her back.
Oh, if for real.
You know she's going to be on All Stars.
Uh-huh. But yeah, there's a lot of people that I would love to see on the race.
You know who I'm in love with in Chicago, and I don't get to see enough of their content, but Lo Tian, like they crack me up.
Oh my God, I love Lo. Lo
She's hilarious.
For me, I honestly, me and Rachel talked about this on Ungodly Gossip. Other than myself, and unlike Rachel, my video actually got a handful of views. So obviously we know what that means, girly. Season 15 might be my thing. I'm just saying. But for me, I would say just like for Wisconsin, first and foremost, I think that you, Linda, and Malaya, y'all both would get on the race and kill. Malaya, you would bring cosplay to it. And I feel like it'll be, I don't know, because sometimes like with, you know, obviously with the microaggressions against like Black girls being successful and doing shit, doing cosplay and being like a queen of color, like the girls be getting really pressed because they'd be like, well, Inuyasha wasn't Black. And I'm like, well, he gonna be Black today. You would bring a very like different thing and a different kind of like taste to the whole like gumbo that is RuPaul's Drag Race. And you too, Linda, very, very great, very talented. You know, I stand. In addition to you two, I would say Melee McQueen, Karma Zavich, Amethyst of Amethyst Auditions.
He needs to.
And last but certainly not least, Persephone the fucking Diamond.
Oh, yes.
Like, Persephone has the juice. Mm-hmm. Like, in all aspects of, like, drag, Persephone is, like, the, like, she is the D-O-double-L.
For
and, like,
sure.
I feel like, especially for what Persephone represents, like, people really rallied around Valentina just for being like a Mexican queen, like a figurehead for like Latin queens, but like Persephone is like in the trenches, like literally like fighting so people can understand that, like, you know, Latinas do it and they do it well, you know.
I really appreciate it, like when we got to talk to her and just speaking about her journey and her talking about being able to bring her culture and the folklorico dancing that she does to like
folklorico,
excuse me, my apologies. But just being able to bring that culture to like a lot of people who didn't get to see it. We don't get to see that a lot, you know, in drag pageants. And I really want her to be able to achieve her dream of taking that national. And I feel like Drag Race will be an excellent platform for her to be able to say, this is what we do. Our culture is appreciated. And I just see that for her. And I'm so excited to see that for her in the future.
Ditto.
Absolutely. Child. And then also, just to like really tie it in, since we're on Drag Race, it gags me that the U.S. girls have such a huge platform, obviously, because we're 13, about to be 14 seasons in. But the fact that the season 2 UK girls came through and shitted on, like,
season 2
shitted on season 13. And I told Rachel, I said, it gags me because these girls are literally competing for no money. Mm-hmm. They literally get a Chuck E. Cheese pan and a trip to LA to film a show that they're probably not even going to be paid for. So I'm just like, like with UK, if they really wanted to give the girls what we needed, they should have done a double crowning for UK.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, do a triple crowning.
I will say, speaking of UK, that was one of our questions we're going to ask. Who was your pick for the season's crown, and why was it Taste? I just added that in because you know I'm a Taste super fan.
I would like to take this moment to thank you all for having me on this show. Taste was not my person. I wanted Bimini to win. Bimini really came back from that 7-month break and was like, okay, now let me show y'all what the fuck I got.
First of all, I just want to say, not me planning on how I'm going to hate crime Rachel on Saturday, because this is a Taste supremacy, bitch, and I need you to understand it.
Thank you.
But going into it, when Taste walked in the door, like, I've been following Taste for many, many years, and I'm just like, Taste is sickening. Taste is funny. Taste is the look, you know, and I feel like, not to drag the Vivian, but even though we all knew that Davina DeCampo won the season, they had to give it to the Vivian because she was the look. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Where it's like, yeah, Davina could have reigned and made it fun, but like, there was no way that Davina was going to look as good as the Vivian doing it.
Right.
So with this season, Taste was my favorite, and even going into the top three, I love how RuPaul shaded Ellie Diamond. I was but going into it, even in like, no matter what anybody says, maybe it's just my delusionism, maybe it's just because I'm Black and I wanted another Black girl to win, because I feel like that's the supremacy that's been happening.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
But with, I wanted Taste to win because people were like, oh, well, she's been in the bottom. I said, if you really think about it, none of these girls can beat Taste in a lip sync. And Ru just like, well, I want to be entertained. Mm-hmm,
for real.
Because every lip sync that they had her do, she won. Even the final three lip sync, I felt like,
oh, yeah, she won that. Yeah. She slayed that. Even when they did like the performance in the last episode, I was just like, Taste was the only one that I was like, okay, she was good.
Well, true. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know. But when it came down to Taste, I was like, I wanted Taste to win. But I understood why Lawrence won. Mm-hmm. But also, like, with Bimini, like, I felt like everybody was rallying behind Bimini. But just from the get-go, I felt like the reason why they picked Lawrence is because Lawrence came out the gate killing it. You know what I mean? Whereas, like, Bimini, first episode, Bimini was in the bottom. And then Bimini really got it together. They did the what? Did they do? They did the UK girl group, UK Hun. And then they had the break and came back.
Yep.
Yeah, so like Bimini got her shit together. Like, I would say she was on the incline of getting it together, but once she came back from that break, she really had it together.
Yeah.
She did her homework.
Yeah. I think them girls got blessed with the biggest blessing ever, which is to like take a 7-month break right in the middle of filming, and you have all this time to work on all of your flaws that you may have like experienced, and you get time to reflect and understand how to move through the show and the production, you know what I'm saying? So I think you come back with a better set of knowledge when you get that long kind of break to go in and really kill it.
Yeah. And like, even for them to have a 7-month break, the season ended quicker than Drag Race season 13.
Okay.
For real.
All right. So this question is specifically for you, Anya, because you are the resident pageant queen on the panel today. So are there any titles that you want to run for or planning to run for?
You know, as a beauty queen once said, the perfect day is April 24th. I'm just kidding. But honestly, in my heart of hearts, I do want to run for Miss Five Night Club Fabulous because I want my sister Persephone to crown me. And then there's in the depths of my heart, I want to do it because I don't know if the listeners know, but like as everybody that's in here knows, Vanilla passed away in September. And the one pageant that she like really wanted to win was Five Night Club Fabulous. And I kind of want to win it, you know, for my sister since she's no longer here with us. But honestly, based on everything that happened this summer and the way that people showed their ass, I'm just fully in a moment where I'm like, I'm sickening. I know I'm sickening and I don't need to give my energy or present myself to try to win a pageant. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? I'm just fully at a place where I'm like, I'm not going to give my energy or put myself on a pedestal to be judged by bitches who can't do the shit that I do.
I ain't mad at it. Rachel, you running for anything?
From the refrigerator, girl. I'm trying to lose some weight. Shit.
I feel that.
All right, so Malai, you ready to move on to Too Soon or Too Late?
Yes, let's go ahead. Let's do it. Okay, so I don't know if y'all have listened to the podcast before, but we like to end our interviews with a little bit of a game. So it's like, basically, we're going to give you a couple questions, and you're going to tell us if it is too soon, as in too taboo to be talking about it at this time. We don't need to focus on it, maybe in the future, or too late, as in it's taboo. And we don't care about it, like, da da da, like, it's not worth our time anymore. We should have been talking about that 20 years ago. But also, if, you know, you can't really decide, how about just right on time?
Yeah, if you feel like it's something we can talk about right now, if you don't think it's too soon or too late, then you can say just right.
Exactly. So we got a couple questions for you from yours truly. But starting it off, is it too soon or too late to say between Anya and Rachel, who is the Gail and who is the Oprah?
Just right. And I'm the Oprah, and that's on period.
I would say too soon because Rachel is stepping.
Yes.
All right. This is the content we came for.
Truly. All right. So the next one is it too soon or too late to determine a season 13 front runner / winner?
Just right on time.
Okay.
I would say it's too late. I think we already knew from the beginning that it was going to be Simone I think it's going to be Simone. But it was always a toss up between Simone and Godmick.
Okay.
I'm not mad at that. I agree.
Yeah.
You know, the sleeper though for me has been Rosé, because I feel like Rosé isn't my pick, but I feel like Rosé's done such a good job that they're going to like try and slide in some like fuck shit and be like, oh, Rosé did it.
Yeah. I don't know about Rosé. I don't think Rosé will win, but she for sure deserves to be top three. I think this season, I'm just guessing, I think the season is going to go to Godmick. I don't think so. Simone has had four wins. She might have the four win curse and have to come back and win it in All-Stars.
Right. They did. If they did to Shay, they'll do it again.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
Oh, Anya, did you stay?
Oh, I was going to. The reason why I said just right, because like we kind of have a consensus of what we think is going to happen. But honestly, it's up to the production.
I'm not mad at that. Okay, for this next one, is it too soon or too late to say between the two of you, who is the best dressed?
It's too late. I'm gonna be nice this time. It's Anya. Anya got some other dress.
You know what? I'm not even gonna retittle her retattle. But yes, I would say I agree with Rachel. Obviously, I am the most best dressed.
She was like, I'm sickening and you're not gonna tell me otherwise.
What Bimini say? Not a joke, just a fact.
Hey. Okay. And I think we got a fan question. We got a fan question that came in. And I think it was either from Anya or Rachel, but, you know, we're just going to say it's from both of you. In your honest opinion, is it too soon or too late to discuss who actually has the bigger back?
It is just right, and it's obviously Anya.
I would say it's too late because Rachel's been carrying that tonka of an upper back for like 22 years. So I feel like, you know, we should have been talked about it. We should have been enrolled her in a program so she can like lose that, or we can do a fundraiser for her. But yeah, I would say it's too late because I think she's stuck with it for the rest of her life.
Anya just talking all this shit because she's out in the while I'm cooking house.
Oh, Lord.
That's the thing. Rachel wants to be so bad, but if I'm out in You the one that's getting.
All right, moving along. Moving along. Linda, bleep all of that out.
It's just gonna be like,
I'll play it.
I may do it just for shits and giggles. Okay. This next one is okay. This is a little spicy. This could have been our hot seat one. It's similar to our hot seat question, but is it too soon or too late to start calling tits Trixie Zit?
I would say too soon.
Okay.
Let her make a couple appearances first.
Okay. She got a t-shirt already.
Once Trixie puts us on her YouTube channel like they promised, then we can say just
okay. Cute. All right, Malai, you want to take the last one?
Oh, the hot seat question? Girl, yeah. I didn't even realize that question was in there. I just saw the Trixie Zit question. A rehash, our hot seat question, which is supposed to be like, you know, oh, this is the question that's supposed to get somebody in trouble, but it really won't. This is lukewarm this week. But is it too soon or too late to say that Trixie Mattel is the toughest boss you've ever had?
Rachel, how do you feel about it?
I mean, she hasn't complained to any in terms of our content. We haven't heard any like critiques or gotten any notes for what we talk about on the show. It's always the production value in terms of like sound and video quality and stuff. So I'd say it's just right. She cool with me.
Hey,
I would say just right as well. Like Rachel said, honestly, we haven't gotten any negative critique about what we do. It's mostly just how they can make it better, whether it's lighting, whether it's a video quality, whether it's just the way that things kind of are set up, or the way that like for when Linda recorded with us, we used to hold mics and talk, but now we have a table mic. So it's just kind of stuff like that.
Okay. And it was a lot of fun to like come and shoot with y'all.
I'm so mad I didn't get to do it. I hate my job.
This is going to be like our little crossover episode. It'll be like too soon with godly gossip or something like that. I don't know. It'll be something cute and fun. So what is up next for Ungodly Gossip, and what kind of upcoming gigs and things do you guys have?
Well, we are filming our last couple of episodes this Saturday, and then we're taking a cute little hiatus until season 2. We're already in like talks with people to like be guests for season 2.
Mm-hmm. Cute.
But yeah, that's pretty much it for now, outside of like other shows that I'm doing outside of Ungodly Gossip.
Okay.
I'm waiting to get the go ahead with a bingo show that we're doing here in Chicago to reopen back up that I'm co-hosting. That's going to be weekly. And then that's it for me.
Yes.
Yes, my April actually turned so busy. So coming up April 18th, I have a drag brunch hosted by Persephone B. Diamond at Cuco's, which is a Mexican restaurant here. Cuco's is sick. They have great pina coladas. And so that'll be happening on the 18th. The 22nd of this month, I'll be doing a drag bingo at Marquette University in Milwaukee with Persephone.
Yes.
We'll be doing bingo, and we'll be doing kind of like a talk back. On the 24th, me and Jasper are supposed to be working with UW-Madison for a drag show.
Nice.
To film some numbers for them. And then upcoming weekend, next Sunday, Saturday and Sunday, I'll be back at This Is It, one for I think this is 21st birthday.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
So I'm there on Saturday.
I'll beat that out.
And then
I can't with you.
Okay. She said, boop. And then April 11th, I'll be making the voyage to the great city of Manitowoc, Wisconsin, where they drink Everclear and eat corn for my good drag sister.
Hold up. They do drag in Manitowoc?
They haven't, but we're going to do some drag on that day because it's okay. Lola Lou's birthday. And it's going to be me, Amethyst Von Trollenberg, Jasper Madison, and Persephone B. Diamond.
I'm not mad at that.
That's so cool. I was going to ask you, how was Tennessee?
Oh, Tennessee was good. It was ghetto. It was way more ghetto than Madison, surprisingly. But I had a really good time. I really wanted to get the full, like, hood country bitch fantasy. I went down there and I introduced myself as my country pageant alter ego, Angelina Bradford St. James Dupree.
Love it. All right. Where can people find y'all on the internet? How can they watch Ungodly Gossip?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at The Rachel Slurs. That's TheRachelSlurz. Rachel Slurs on Facebook. Ungodly Gossip you can find on YouTube, Vimeo, Facebook, in the bio of my Instagram page.
For me, you can catch me on all socials, Facebook, Instagram, at The Only On Your Knees. Twitter, you can catch me at Nisa's Christ. and then on Black People Meet, Farmers Only, and Ashley Madison, you can catch me at Throw That Ass in a Prayer Circle.
I can't.
Well, this has been so much fun. I'm so glad we got to have y'all on. Malia, any last words?
I'm just so excited that we got to have y'all on because I have been watching and cracking up. So I was just like, yes, anytime we can do a crossover, whatever, let me know because y'all are hilarious and y'all have magic with what you do.
Thank you so much. I just want to ask a question now that we're here. It's an ego-based question. In your honest opinion, Linda and Malia, between me and Rachel, who is the funnier one?
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, jeez.
I'm going to give the PC answer and say that y'all are funny in different ways. I feel like Anya like just goes all the way in and Rachel just knows how to like punch and drag her back to reality and it ends up being like a good gel. So I mean, it's the toss up because y'all both have your moments.
I think you're both really funny. I think you guys amplify each other's funniness. You know what I'm saying? I think like you guys know how to piggyback off each other really well. So it's just, it's like the knife sharpening the knife. I think both of y'all are just getting better and better with each episode y'all do.
Aw, Rach, you heard that. I'm the pig and you're the bat.
You know what? It's just easy to talk to a beautiful man of color on a daily basis.
I just want to say, y'all remember how on Fairly Odd Parents they had the crimson chin?
Yes.
Yes, Rachel is the big bat.
This is I am not going to sit here and let you slander me.
Oh, come on, Rachel Slanders.
She has a daughter now.
Oh, my God. Y'all are so silly. This has been so much fun. Thank you guys so much for being here. I love you, Anya. Love you, Rachel. Mwah, mwah, mwah.
Thank you.
Bye.
Too soon.
What's up? Welcome back to the pod. I hope you guys enjoyed that interview. And it is officially time for Too Late. Malia?
Yes?
Do you think it's too late to act like we didn't think James Charles would be a repeat offender?
it's far too late. As soon as I saw his first indiscretion, which is, I guess, what we're calling horrible things that white influencers do when we want to excuse them. And they didn't cancel him. I was like, oh, it's going to happen again. Mm-hmm. It's going to happen again. He thinks he's invincible now.
Oh,
and
baby.
Lo and behold, yeah, and it's worse this time.
Okay.
But, yeah.
And I hate to say it, but Jeffree Star was right all along, bitch.
I'm mad. Don't have me over here defending Skeletor Jeffree Star. That makes me. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's still trash too. But
he's still trash. But you know, they can even people.
He did get it out there.
Even the devil can be right sometimes. You know.
You know. You know.
I think there it was a lot of warning signs. You know, multiple people, not even Jeffree Star, because Tati made a whole big thing about him and about James Charles and his bad behavior, and it just. I don't know. It's like he's stuck in this like child mindset. Like, I think he's still like the teenager who just became famous. And maybe he thinks that like he wants somebody that's young. I don't know. Either way, it's like, it's gross. Once you are over 19, you shouldn't be dating nobody with teen in a name.
Right.
Like you're 19, they're 20. Okay.
But cool, but you're both legal.
Right.
Let's start with legal.
Right. And he made this video basically saying, I was just desperate. It boils down to me being desperate. And
it's sad because it's so insidious what he's doing, and now he's gaslighting the public. Acting as if he didn't understand from step to step what he was doing and how calculated it was. He said that he was finding these young men on his TikTok for your page.
Explore page?
Yeah, that's what I meant. And it's just like, who is trolling for, you know, dick on TikTok like that? And then for him to sit there and say that he didn't know some of the ages of these young men when you're getting to know them through these social media, you know, apps, and they clearly have these things displayed, or they even make their content about, you know, things that are, you know, have to do with their age. So he knew what he was doing.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, I don't know. Maybe that's what single people do. They be out there looking for dick anywhere. But me being married, you know, I just don't know I don't know what that's like, you know.
Can't you? I mean, even when you were single, was you out looking for 15-year-old anything?
Hell no. Hell to the hell no.
Exactly. Exactly.
I will admit when I was 18, I dated a guy who was, you know, a little older than me, but I was still 18.
There you go.
He may have been a few years older, but I've always dated older men. But I just find it weird when people want to date children. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't date no 15-year-old baby.
There's a difference between, you know, dating young and dating a child.
Yeah. Like, I don't want nothing a child has to offer me.
Right. And
but
I get what you were trying to say earlier, because I've met gays like that before. I feel like, you know, so much of our high school and like middle school coming of age experience gets overshadowed by being gay. So you don't get to have like the typical like, oh, I meet my first crush and this, that, and the other, and I get to have the butterfly moments and do everything normal. A lot of gays don't get that. And I think because they don't, they revert to like wanting to maintain this teenage childlike persona, mm-hmm. because they want to be able to live some of those experiences authentically, but they can't do that until, you know, they come out and this, that, and the other, and they're in a safe space to be able to do it. So I do think that's what we see a lot of times with gay men who end up tending to date younger. But there's a difference, like we've said, there's a difference between dating younger and dating a child. So
exactly.
Figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's something wrong with his brain, honey. I think we've reached the end of our fucking podcast. It is too late to act like we didn't think James Charles would do this shit again. He absolutely, like, everybody should have saw this coming. So if you didn't, that's on you.
If you didn't, you just don't want to see it.
Vary that energy. All right, Malaya, this has been so much fun. Please tell the dolls where they can catch you this week or next week or whenever the fuck this shit comes out.
Girl, they can catch me at This Is It on, will this be out before that? Yeah. I'm gonna be at This Is It on the 8th. On the 8th, Thursday. Yes. And then I'm gonna be at Club 5 hosting Mad World in Madison on Friday the 9th. And that's pretty much it for me right now. I'm not doing too much.
Yeah. I actually have a live gig coming up. It's still for a while out, but on May 1st, the doll will be at This Is It for Fatality, hosted by Faye Ludes. Special guest from Chicago. I love her to death. Our first guest on the podcast, Lucy Stuhl, will be there. And the rest of the cast is a stellar lineup. I'm super excited for everybody who's going to be in the show. And it'll be my first time officially being booked in a cast for a live performance since I stopped at the beginning of the Panderosa.
I'm excited. I'm going to be up front row, like tipping and throwing dollars, making it rain. Not really because I'm broke, but I'm going to be watching.
Yes, please tip the doll. So my name is Linda Jo. You can catch me on Instagram or Twitter. That's at LENDAJO.
I had so much fun. It's your girl Malaya Marvel. You can find me everywhere on social media at MALAIYA Marvel, like the superheroes. And this has been a wonderful episode. I can't wait till we get the next one.
Yeah. So we'll see you next week for
Too soon.
All right, bye guys.
All
The greatest poet in American history once said, her name is Maya Angelou. She said,
if someone shows you who they are, believe them.
And that's what it is.
And as great famed and late actress Cicely Tyson once was quoted as saying, purr. Rachel, say purr in your Maya Angelou voice.
Wait.
Purr.
If someone